Scripture reading is also from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 44. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol, and at Tahpanhes, and at Noph, and in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, and upon all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore, my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and it was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, Wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled, even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will set my face against you for evil, and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die, from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out our drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, "The incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear, because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed, therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as it is this day," or as at this day. "Because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord nor walked in his law nor in his statutes nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, Hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, Ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, We will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, The Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my words shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy that sought his life. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Whew. Wow. Okay, well, so I have gathered up the first section as verses 1 through 14. And in that first section, the Lord recounts the reason for them being conquered and now finding themselves in Egypt. It was for their sin, namely the sin of idolatry. The Lord was faithful to warn them, sending his prophets, and he warned them that their doings were abominable, but they did not hearken. They would not hear. Secondly, notice, because they did not hear, the fury of the Lord was kindled against them. As they burnt incense to other gods, the Lord's anger burned against them in those very same streets. They burned incense in the streets of Jerusalem. God's anger was burning against them in those same streets. And so the Lord came in the person of Nebuchadnezzar, and the houses were burned down, and the people were slain, and the blood ran in the streets. The Lord's fury was poured out upon them there. Then, when they took themselves against counsel to Egypt, they continued this practice. Now in Egypt, the people continue in the same behavior, not making use of their chastisements and judgments, but continuing on in their wickedness and in their abominations. May I say it this way? Chastisement is bad enough without aggravating it by not turning to the Lord and turning from our wickedness when the Lord sends chastisement. The difficulty is that we have learned, like we saw in the last chapter, to offload the blame for that chastisement to some circumstance instead of the Lord. We saw this earlier this year when we heard of churches closing left and right, and many of those churches were refusing to acknowledge the hand of the Lord in closing churches. Instead, it was COVID. It was the civil magistrate. We hear this very often when we hear about fires out west, when we hear about storms to the south and to the east, hurricanes, when we hear about tornadoes, when we hear about flooding and excessive rain. We blame it on all kinds of things other than the Lord. We remember a few years back when Katrina hit the state of Louisiana, especially Baton Rouge. What happened? Well, we had people saying, oh, well, God didn't send that. Satan sent that. Apparently, God did everything he could and couldn't stop what was coming. And we know what foolishness it is to think like that. But we're going to watch a people in this chapter make that same deadly calculation to refuse the chastisement of the Lord, to blame it on something else, like they did in the last chapter. Oh, this is Baruch. We can hear Baruch's voice speaking in your voice, Jeremiah. He set you on us, hasn't he? So we have some immediate thing that we place instead of listening. What does the prophet Hosea say? Hear the rod and him who wields it. But they refuse. In this chapter, they refuse to hear the rod. So then the Lord pronounces the reminder of his judgment against them. The Lord will cut off all of Judah that now dwells in Egypt, save for a very small remnant, and they will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, just like everybody else did back in Jerusalem and Judah. They will not escape, even though they think they have escaped. And so the application that we make then from this first section is, number one, it is not possible to run from the Lord. Just ask Jonah. It's not possible to run from him. And it is also not advisable to run from him. If he is chastising you, are you ready? He's still speaking to you. There is yet time for repentance. His judgments are life. His strokes may cut deeply, but they cut for the sake of life. If the Lord takes something away from you, he takes it away for your good. If only Saul, the king, would have heard that. The Lord says, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. The calculus that Saul should have made was, okay, so I can lose the kingdom and gain eternal life. Or I can gain the kingdom and lose my soul. And so what do we see Saul doing for the rest of his life? Hunkering down, doubling down on sometimes even silly authoritative moves to solidify his position, he thinks, as king. All the while, it's slipping further and further from his hands, as well as his eternal life. Remember that, brothers and sisters. That when the Lord sends chastisements, hear the rod. And him who wields it. Johanan, the son of Kareah, and what was his name? Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah. They didn't. They wouldn't hear the voice of the Lord in their chastisements. And they carried everyone away to Egypt instead. All right, so that's the first section. There's one more thing that I want to mention here, and that is that the men of this age behaved themselves very sinfully with regard to their families, in that they did not, would not, forbid their wives from burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. Now, I'm not sure, I don't know the history well enough, and I'm not sure anyone does really, to be able to comment on that to the point that why Jeremiah would specifically mention the wives here, but he does two or three times. And so we want to make that, gentlemen, let me just say it to you this way. You are the heads of your families. You can delegate authority, but you can never delegate responsibility. You are the responsible party, and you will give answer. And if you'd like me to prove that from Scripture, That's easy. Who took the fruit and ate it? Eve. And then Adam ate. Who got the blame? Who plunged our race into corruption? Adam. Who was the responsible party? Adam was. So, gentlemen, heads of your households, leaders of families, you will give answer for your family. You will give answer for your family. How you have led, how you have shepherded, how you have forbid things like this, the worship of the Queen of Heaven. All right, so then next, verses 15, and I have that down through verse 19. And we have the answer of the men. Oh, this is one of those passages, you read it, and it's hard because it witnesses to our own misuse of God's providence, doesn't it? It says, well, Jeremiah, we're not going to listen to you anymore. And here's why we're not going to listen. We have good and strong reasons not to listen to you anymore. It's only after we started listening to you that we had all these troubles. We didn't have any trouble when we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven. We even had more men. We even had more. When we were worshiping the Queen of Heaven, were we doing so without our men? Now you're asking us to worship God without our men. All of our men are lost. And why are they lost, Jeremiah? Because we left off worshiping the Queen of Heaven. That's their reasoning. They reason according to eyes, according to temporal things, according to investigation, rather than reasoning according to the Word of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's just cut to the chase. We must walk by faith and not by sight, and that faith in what God has said in His Word. Because we will have contrary providential indications as a test of our faith. And the Lord promises that He will bring that to pass. You remember that? You remember what He told the Israelites of old? I'm going to send you a prophet. He's going to be a false prophet. And if he thinks to draw you away from the Lord your God, and he brings forth a sign, and it actually comes to pass, you will not follow him because he draws you away from the Lord. The Lord has put him in your midst to try you, to see whether you would follow the Lord your God or not. That's a great measure by which we ought to measure everything. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you take my words and you measure them by the Word of God. It doesn't matter who we are. We all will answer for every idle word, and whether it is in keeping with or against the Word of God. So they reason very horribly then. They walk by faith and not sight. They reason in such a way that they give themselves leave to continue on, burning incense to the Queen of Heaven. They turn things upside down, and in so doing then, they bring upon them a greater cursedness. All right, so then we come to the final section. I'm way past time here. In 20 through the end of the chapter, he reiterates to them the truth. The Lord could no longer bear. Please don't hear in that the Lord is anything other than long-suffering. We read that in Scripture. We've talked about this before. The Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is patience. Patience itself. We hear in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there are scoffers and mockers who come and they say, the Lord's never coming back because He hasn't come back by now. It's been so long. We must have misunderstood. He hasn't come back, so He's not coming back. The Lord often bears long, even with a wicked and sinful people. But we must never misuse the long-suffering of God and confuse it with approval. The long-suffering of God has nothing to do with His approval of what we're doing, but everything to do with His patience and kindness toward His erring people. Again, we must shut ourselves up to the Word of God and not reason temporally and say, well, the Lord hasn't judged, so He won't. We were being blessed when we were doing these sins, so those must be the way of blessing. No, God has been clear in His Word how we do that. We can't allow ourselves to take up those facile temptations of the enemy of our souls. He reminds them that the evil that has come upon them this day was indeed because they had forsaken the law of the Lord. He calls them to account by those vows that they have taken and intend to fulfill to what? Burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. Seems to me that these folks were far too free with their vows. They vowed at the lightest things and without meaning. And so they vowed to worship the Queen of Heaven. They also vowed to hear Jeremiah. We heard that earlier, didn't we? And so they were throwing vows around. Why? Why do people throw vows around when they're not called for by weight and moment? Generally because they're liars. Because they're used to lying and twisting the truth so much that they have to punctuate every sentence with, I swear. No, really, I'm telling the truth this time. Right? We must never be people like that. Our yea must be yea, and our nay, nay. He says, you have taken a vow, and I will swear by my great name. And so the Lord says, I'm going to give you a vow instead. And here's my vow to you. I will no longer be named among you in Egypt. I will watch over you for evil and not for good. And I will make an end of all them in Egypt save a very small remnant. Then will we know whose word stands, yours or mine. Well, that's not a contest we want to get into God over. Right? Now, we have taken vows. We've taken vows of church membership to be the Lord's people, to follow after Him. Let us keep those vows. And let us repudiate every vow that was sinfully taken that would draw us away from the Lord our God. The chapter ends then once again with the prophecy that Pharaoh shall fall by the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. May I say it this way, the way I said it last week? Johanan of Karea and Azariah, the son of Hoshea, you've just painted a target on Egypt by going down there. Nebuchadnezzar will come. And He will take it away. Thus ends the reading of Jeremiah chapter 44. Let's stand and continue.